Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet radio land. This is John Stanko, your host for another edition of Ministry Beat. We were back up and running last week with a great, successful broadcast with Pastor Ross Owens. And then when I heard the message and heard the feedback from the message this weekend, I said, we have to give equal time. So I asked Pastor Sheldon Williams if he could join us for Ministry Beat. Let me go ahead and bring him on right now. It's spinning. There you are. Pastor Sheldon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Dr. John. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you, and hope you are doing well. A lot of our listeners follow the story with your granddaughter, Brooklyn, and give us a quick report. How is she doing?
Well, we had a pleasant day today. We had her out of her bed, which, I mean, to some that might seem like a minor thing, but with all of the connections she has with tubes and lines that keep her alive, getting her out of the bed is not only a big undertaking, but a big joy to us. So we had her on a big play mat. She's still learning. She doesn't crawl or anything. She's just a little over 13 months. But with her challenges mentally, she's pretty advanced. I mean, really, she learns quickly. But physically, there's some challenges there. So she doesn't crawl and stuff, but she moves her arms and her legs, likes playing around and stuff. And these are small miracles that we celebrate, just being able to interact with her outside of just being in that crib hospital bed.
Yeah, well, I know many people have been praying, are praying, will continue to pray, and you and Faye have done quite a job on social media keeping everybody connected and attached, and it's really been effective. I know you'd rather be talking about other things, but we're just going to continue to trust the Lord and see her restoration. Did you have a good summer?
Oh, yeah, we had a very good summer. Had time for us just to find ways of connecting. I mean, with our daily responsibility of being with Brooklyn and supportive of her mom, Sheltea, our youngest daughter. So we got to find time for Faye and I and for the other kids and for all the bonding. So, you know, we just find better ways of being able to both care for Brookie at the hospital, but also maintain our family care as well. But it's been good. You know, I had a little vacation. That was about the longest time we had been away from Brooklyn, was to go on our cruise. And, you know, we had a good time with that. But summer's been great. Enjoyed it. And a lot going on with, you know, trying to fulfill one of the three C's, which is church planting, for which we have an active role in as well. So summer's been really good, very busy.
You give a quick update at the beginning of your message, so I won't ask you to repeat that, but are you excited about the opportunity to plant a church?
Oh, certainly. You know, talking about challenges, church planting is a challenge, and, you know, I like to say that, you know, I love challenges, but I didn't embark on this just as something else to do. I feel called to it. Faye similarly feels called to it, but we don't take it for granted. I mean, it is a lot of work to be able to establish a ministry and prayerfully that it will be healthy and helpful for the people, for the target area we're intending to go and be a blessing. So a lot of groundwork that has to be done, and we continue to keep on, you know, just preparing the ground and making our way. So we got a couple of things we need to accomplish. But, yeah, we feel full of excitement, need to get over a couple of hurdles that we need to fully launch, you know, so we can launch our weekly services and our activities and stuff. But we're moving in the right direction.
Well, yeah, and we'll have you back on, and we've done some other media, social media, and interviews to talk about that. But you know, you end your summer on a high note, preaching before ACAC. What's it like to stand before your home congregation and preach the word?
Well, first of all, it's an honor. I take great delight in being able to bring a message, and because we are used to, and at ACAC we're used to good teaching and good preaching with the various people who occupy the pulpit, and of course our lead pastor who does it week in and week out. So for me it was okay. There's a quality and expectation for people to know that they're going to hear from God and that they're going to have an appropriate amount of teaching for the time period that we have, 28 minutes to 30 minutes to bring it. So you have to be clear, concise, and you have to communicate effectively. There's a slight, a little bit of to make sure that you hit it. And you want to, when I say hit it out the park, it's not that you get any of the glory, but you want to make sure that you're adequately doing what God is calling you to do for the time period He has given you. So a lot of weight there, and I accept the opportunity with overwhelming joy and delight to be able to do it. And, wasn't anxious or nervous or anything. It's our family, and so it's just having the opportunity. But one thing I was concerned about was just being able to be able to be in the flow and to do with what I needed to do, because the people are used to a particular, teaching standard. So I prayed to God that He would just take control. And from the feedback, I felt good about it because I was the first partaker of the message itself. It was not only just real for me, but I was also ministering to me as well as God was revealing it. And I was hopeful that others would be similarly suited, and to receive like I was. And it seems as if people, the responses I'm getting, not just, hey, that was a good message. I mean, when people talk about they were challenged or they're talking about the Holy Spirit spoke to them, they felt like they had been in the presence, God moved on their heart. I even had some people say, I have to go back and listen again because there's some things I need to learn a little bit more. That was energizing for me. That means they really grasped what I was trying to communicate.
Yeah, you certainly didn't play it safe. I mean, you talked about the Holy Spirit, who at times has been as much unity as He was sent to bring, has been a dividing point among believers. And so any trepidation when you went there? Any things you were hoping, to avoid? Or just what was your thinking as you began to plan?
Yeah, very good question. Well, one was, our understanding of Holy Spirit and what that represents. People will set a basis of understanding for what they expect or what they read or what they interpret. And I think, me personally, I think there's an entry to understanding what full engagement of what Holy Spirit is living it out. And God reveals to it's His Spirit, and God reveals what He needs to reveal as we are able to understand and as we are able to embrace and be able to intake. So I'm a firm believer that, when we talk about indwelling and filling and the such, it's always, I think it's related to the container, not necessarily God's capacity. It's the container. And so as we grow and learn and expose and weed out and God ministers to us, I think there's always opportunity for refreshing and new experience and expansion, because God doesn't change. It's us that become more aware of what He is and who He is and what His purpose is. And so that is done because of our willingness to be more available and show us and reveal to us as we are willing and ready to receive. So you get people on a scale. If you had to put it on a linear scale and had to map out quantitatively some way how people are, where people are, you'll get data points all over the place. And people with their understanding and experience with Holy Spirit. So it is somewhat of a challenge that you're not going to corral everybody on one basis of understanding, but you hold firm to the truth. What does the scripture say? You try to interpret it correctly and communicate it. But, you know, in the message, I was really trying to emphasize that it on some basic things. We know that we know that there is a Holy Spirit. We know God promised the Holy Spirit, and we see how the Holy Spirit has moved through some people in the scriptures that we know are the Holy Scriptures. And so if he doesn't change, similarly he can move with us as well. And so I was just trying to lay out a pathway for people to just be willing to be available and open.
And you say you got good feedback from the message?
Yeah, it was pretty instantaneous. I got some, and I come to expect, you know, when people, I really did expect people to say, you know, if they were just being kind, you know, in a greeting, you know, just when they see you and stuff, a good message or whatever. But people were coming. I had people with tears in their eyes. I had people who came to me and said, I was really challenged by your message. I had thank yous that were very sincere and deep. I got emails and texts, and it was immediate. And people were saying things like, and I won't share everything, but I had a gentleman email me. It was only like about an hour or so, a little after the message, and said he thanked me for the message and the time that we had given the space at the end of service for the Holy Spirit to minister to individuals. And he said that he felt like God spoke and the Holy Spirit revealed something to him that he needed to do. And he said his words, and he said, to be quite honest with you, what he revealed, I don't even want to do. But I know that it's right because God spoke it, and I have to be obedient. And so that really, it was one of those moments, you know, that that okay, it's hitting its mark. You know, it was confirmation that those points, it's hitting its mark. It wasn't just thank you for the word, you know, or good message or stuff like that. People were really sharing that they were moved, and so I was very thankful, and it continues. I still get some feedback from it, and, you know, people are still reaching out. So hopefully it'll continue.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully some people who didn't hear it will be encouraged through this broadcast, because we're going to play the message in its entirety after we talk with you, and that model seemed to work well last week with Pastor Ross. And let me ask, before we break to the message, and then I'll let you go, but, you know, what can we expect in the church plant? Will you be preaching some or all the time, or have we gotten that far yet of how we're going to format and structure Sunday in Homestead?
Well, we have decided that, you know, the strength of our preaching with our lead pastor, and to utilize with opportunities I can bring with connecting and community by merging both of those. So me focusing on study and research and preparing messages takes a block of time, you know, well, and your preparation takes a block of time. I want to apply that to really connecting in community, and given my background and the way that I've been able to network with the various parts of community, at least initially starting. So I will preach some, and, you know, we're settling on a, you know, 3-week video, one live me, or 2-week video, two live me. It'll be some combination of that. But Pastor Rock has given assurances that as the momentum of Homestead, we start seeing uptick, and I'm getting more, he says, I'm getting more comfortable where they need to hear from me more, that it gives me the freedom to make the decision of how much preaching I then take on. So it's it's flexible, but at least an initial start, because we got to get some momentum. We got to be active. You know, I am a boots on ground type of dude, and so I just want to be very unique in our approach. I think God and His Holy Spirit is going to reveal some things to us, maybe somewhat semi-unconventional to with some the traditional ways some people might church plan, but I want to be available to do that and then be able to create the necessary networks and connections that draw people. And I want them not only to be drawn, I want to find ways to make people stick, because that's some of the challenges, even with all churches, even people visiting, how do we make them stick? How do we make them, you know, part of the community? Community of believers is what I'm getting at. So,
yeah,
interesting work, and I don't have the whole game plan, but I just know I'm willing and ready.
Yeah, yeah. I was just in Oklahoma City over the weekend, and I preached at a church in Oklahoma City, and it was live streamed to a campus in Edmond, Oklahoma, about 35 minutes north of the campus. And so, you know, I was told to include them in the message, and then at the end I let them sign off, and they turned it over to a campus pastor, and then I made the altar call there in the church where I was speaking live. My only point is that there are a lot of different models out there, and and this is an exciting opportunity for ACAC to be extending ourselves beyond the north side out into the community, as has been our tradition. And so it'll be very interesting and exciting to see how it all emerges and what model comes forth. And so it's not unusual to have a campus pastor who's not preaching, who is deferring to a senior man, but then very hands-on and very involved. So we're really excited, and you will come back and give us updates, won't you?
Oh, certainly, certainly. Looking forward to it.
So now, real quick, a minute overview. Somebody that stays on the show and listens, what can they? What basically, again, are you trying to tell them in the message that they're about to hear?
Really, I want people to get out of it is to be challenged that they can be more than what they can expect. That they can be more than what they know if they allow their availability to be open, but know that the enemy does not want them to be successful in their spiritual approach. And I talk about some of the challenges, but why we need to be the hands and feet and how we position ourselves to be maximally used so that we could be the benefit that God wants us to be to the people who need to be connected to him.
Yeah.
So I go through a pathway, but just know it's not easy work. It's necessary work, but it'll be victorious work if we lend ourselves to it.
Amen. Amen. Well, great. Well, I listened to it earlier. I was out of town. I'm sorry I missed it live, but I did catch up. And I want to thank you for coming on. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And we pray God's blessing on your family, on Brooklyn, and all of you who are have been so staunch and faith warriors, prayer warriors, and supporting her, and for the role that you've played in ACAC over the years. We're grateful, and we look forward to the days to come.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And if I can extend a thanks to any of the listeners who have been supportive of our family, it's because of the prayers of the people and God's grace that we have another day to be able to spend with Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so appreciative the Williams family is for all the care we've received.
Well, amen. Well, you're just reaping what you've sown, brother. So thank you. God bless you. Give our love to your family. And I'm going to let you go. And then, listeners, stay tuned, because you are going to be hearing the message from this past Sunday, Pastor Sheldon Williams, A Challenge to Be Changed. Let's listen now.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. And I'm delighted to have this opportunity to bring God's word today. I'm sure you are just as eager as I am for Pastor Rock to get back to the pulpit, because, I like to hear his word too. But it always seems like when I get a chance to preach, it's always preceding his sabbatical when he's coming back. So hope not to mess this stage up too much for him, as he's supposed to be back next week, and I'm looking forward to that. And so who I am, Pastor Sheldon Williams, and right now I'm serving as your church planter in the Homestead area. And things are going well. Know that we are working aggressively towards planting that church, but there's a couple of prayer needs I want to put before you. One, we're still trying to identify our building, and ours, I'm saying ours, not ours, me and Faze, our building. We need to identify where we're going to have church for weekly worship service. But know that there's work going on now, that the church building, the brick and mortar, is just a place for us to gather in. The work of the church is going out and make sure we're making connections with people, networking and such, and that's happening. So that's prayer one, is building. Prayer two is, as we're starting to formulate the teams, and that's some of y'all in this room, us. There's some people around the whole ACAC campus, and so as we're trying to formulate these teams, we need more prayer as God begins to identify who those individuals are. Today I'm going to be preaching from Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. We had the freedom to preach anywhere, from anywhere, all the 66 books of the Bible, and I picked Acts because there was something in this part of Acts 19 that really stood out to me. Hopefully I can convey that to you. So I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version or New American Standard Bible, and it'll be up behind me. But you can read along from whatever version you may have with you. So let's read together. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men. So for the title for today's sermon, I've titled it "Challenged to be Changed." And what I want to talk about is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and how that challenges us to be best effective for how God wants to utilize us. So that's where we're going. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, what matters most is that people have a sense that you are here. So allow that to also occur through the words that I'm offering. Let your Spirit just reign through me. Special anointing right now. The anointing to communicate a message that's appropriate, directed by your Holy Spirit, and a preparation of hearts, the opening of ears, so that they can receive exactly what it is you intended for them to hear. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And as I begin the sermon, may the Lord be with you. So, right before I jump in, I want to pose this question that Paul kind of posed to the disciples, because I want that to be in your background of your mind as I'm going through the whole sermon. And that question was, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? So I want you to park that question. It'll make sense when we come back to it. So anybody that knows me knows I embrace and love a good challenge. It could be my competitive spirit or my sense or desire to seek accomplishment, but there are times where I openly embrace a good challenge. And I'm certain there are people in this room that could probably say the same. Some of y'all are just as competitive as I am. Now, I would like to clarify my previous statement by simply saying that I do not accept every challenge. Now, there are some things that don't interest me at all. No matter how it's presented, I will arrive at the very same conclusion, like, nope, or nope, not going to do it. It just doesn't interest me. There has to be some aspect of the challenge that has to motivate me to participate. Now, put my wife on blast. Now, she'll continuously, my wife Faye, she'll attempt to get me to do things that in my quiet mind I'll say are totally insane. I won't say that to her. In my quiet mind, I think are totally insane. And she'll try to get me to do different things like skydiving. Like, and I resist every one of her repeated requests with a resounding, firm but polite, and unchanging response. Nope, I ain't gonna do it. See, skydiving is not a challenge to me at all. It's not a challenge. You wanna know why? Because I have resolved that I am never going to do it. For one, I am perfectly okay with confessing to all of you my fear of heights. I'm afraid of heights, but I'm not afraid of flying. I can get into an airplane and get to my destination. I'm not afraid of flying. But I am afraid of heights. So, she thinks this is somewhat prescriptive to get me over my fear of heights. It doesn't register because I find no delight in being terrorized by being 12,000 feet in an airplane, jumping out with a parachute that I didn't pack, and hoping that it land back on my 2 feet back on the ground. It doesn't connect for me. So, you can see that where I get some of my hesitancy. And some may say that my hesitancy is rooted in one of the following. It could be my fear of heights. It could be my lack of faith in my parachute or just being comfortable in my comfort zone. Well, similarly, I believe this is what we can experience and encounter at times with the inner work of the Holy Spirit. See, hesitancy to the leading of the Holy Spirit is often rooted in fear, lack of faith, or our comfort with the familiar. When a person acknowledges that they are a believer, they are affirming that Jesus Christ is the sole source of redemption from the penalty of sin. This is known as salvation because Jesus saves us from the penalty of sin that leads to death. Paul's question to the group of disciples, asking them into what they were baptized, established the point of need for repentance. They replied that they were baptized according to John's baptism, which was, repent and be baptized because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, John was proclaiming the coming of the Savior and was preparing people for Jesus' arrival. I want to say kudos to those individuals that were there when Paul was speaking to them for their faith in the promised arrival of the king. There's just one small detail. At the time Paul was talking to them, Jesus had already completed his mission on earth. They just did not get the memo yet. So now they have the opportunity to be part of the king's kingdom. And when Paul baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they received an opportunity that was not previously available to them when they received John's baptism. The opportunity to have the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit occur from within. See, sanctification is the process by which we live our lives, demonstrating that we are no longer enslaved to sin. We now have the opportunity to live a life that demonstrates we are now under new management. The challenge comes in the form of living life that is submitted to the will of God and not to the will of our human nature. Our human nature and God's perfect nature are positioned like polar opposites, and the chasm between them can be quite vast and quite deep. But we should not be in despair, because God has provided a mediator between the two, and he is the person we know as the Holy Spirit. The principle of being filled with the Holy Spirit is subject to our willingness to let go of our old nature in pursuit of what now can be new. The Holy Spirit seeks to lead us in the appropriate direction, but we can often disregard his guidance. As Christians, we say we want to be more Christ like because he has provided the best example of human living in a sinful world. If being more Christ-like is our destination, then the Holy Spirit provides the appropriate route directions to get there. There's only one problem. He is not the driver. He is only the navigator. Recently, Faye and I went on a trip to North Carolina, and we promptly put in the address in the GPS and followed that route all the way down to North Carolina. Spending a couple days in North Carolina, we needed to return home. So we put the address, our home address in there, and actually we didn't put our home address, little note, that's a safety note. Don't put your home address in the GPS, put address down the street. But anyway, we put address down the street in the GPS so nobody else, if your car ever gets stolen, they don't know where you live. So we put the address down the street and got close so we can get back home. Well, I noticed along the route that the GPS kept trying to divert us off the path. It kept trying to take us off. And I was certain that we needed to stay on that same interstate because we had traveled that for many hours, but it was telling us to get off. So I did like most of the men in this room did. I asked the rhetorical question because I wasn't asking Faye, why is this thing trying to get us off the route? Because you know what her answer would have been? Follow the GPS. But I'd asked it rhetorically, why is this thing taking us off the route? And I kept following what I thought was right. Well, after passing three exits, we ran smack dab into a major traffic jam, four lanes of traffic, and severely delayed our trip getting back home, delayed by time. Well, see, the GPS had a traffic feature that was well aware of the impending traffic jam that was about to happen and was trying to divert us. Well, this is similar how the Holy Spirit tries to direct us as well. He knows the best routes to get us to be more Christ-like. We often choose to trust our own ways instead of trusting him. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is our spiritual GPS. It's God's provided spirit. Since we are the driver, we can choose to accept his guidance or dismiss it. He is aware of the spiritual roadblocks and the spiritual traffic jams that prevent us from living a life empowered to be free from our sin nature. We just need to be sensitive to his leading. Now, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, We can't just be familiar with a concept. We must know him personally. To know him personally, we must have a relationship with him. To have a relationship with him, we must be intimate with him. To be intimate, we must have close contact with him, and the closest contact that we can have with the Holy Spirit is to be indwelled by him. Now, there are some people who are afraid of the Holy Spirit, fearful of the Holy Spirit, and that fear could be a result of lack of experience, improper teaching, or improper exposure, what was deemed a movement of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to discount any of those because there are plenty of examples of those misapplications. We all probably have some stories of that. And even 1 John 4 tells us that we should test the Spirit to see that it is of God. But I am one who tries to keep his spiritual antenna raised in search of the authentic move of the Holy Spirit. But I really don't try to be quick to judge or criticize what is or what is not Holy Spirit. To be the one sitting there trying to judge, where's the movement? That's not right. This is not right. And there are some people who are deeply moved by under the power of the Holy Spirit. But there are also some of us who are be quick to make judgments on whether or not that was from the Lord. Statements like, that's too much. Or they don't have to act that way. Or does it really take all that? See, the thing is, we may not be as familiar with the backstory to fully understand what it is it really took to get them to where they are now. See, if we weren't there during their suffering, their trial, through their testing or their deliverance, we shouldn't be so quick to determine the amount or level of joy or their freedom in the Lord. We have to be able to be witnesses, to be able to say God moves and understand how he chooses to move and his freedom to do so. Now, I know I need not fear the Holy Spirit because of this. He was promised to us. I desire to have just what the Lord promised. He said, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall have power and be my witnesses. See, we see it repeated time and time again in the scriptures where the Holy Spirit has changed a person and they become a powerful witness for the Lord. Not a silent, static witness, but a vocal, outspoken manifestation of the power of the Lord working through the life of a believer. So based off of what I see in scripture and God's promise, for me this creates an insatiable hunger in my spirit that makes me want to know him. The question is, how best can we be witnesses for him? Knowing now that our sin nature desires to be the boss, but the Holy Spirit desires to be our guide, the answer may be our holy desperation. We must get to a place where we are desperate for the holy. God tells us to be holy, for I am holy, and both of those are present tense. And so we must continually be at a place where we are desperate for him. Now, this can present a lot of spiritual challenges because of the pull of our human nature. There are spiritual challenges prompted by the Holy Spirit that we can readily embrace. We can feel challenged that we don't pray enough. And we get challenged that we don't study God's word enough. And maybe we should be giving according to the Spirit's prompting, but we aren't. So we get motivated to adopt better spiritual disciplines in order to realize greater spiritual depth and growth. Then there are personal challenges or life circumstances that can send us for a whirlwind. We are living that right now, the Williams family. Y'all know some of this story with Brooklyn. Brooklyn, at 5 weeks old, went into the hospital August 23rd of 2016 and has not been out of the hospital since. We faced her death four different times on four different occasions. We were saying our goodbyes to her. She has a bad heart, no intestines, and has the risk of also having bad lungs. Yet she demonstrates the great strength of spirit for her fight every day. And so let me tell you what these life circumstances does to the Williams family. As one who has a firm stance on what faith is, it shakes the very merits of what it is that I think and what I think is right or what the word says. I know what it says, but what I'm seeing does not line up to what I'm experiencing. I'm challenged to stand firm in faith and be able to proclaim, because God, this does not make sense to me and anything that I understand about you and what you've said. These challenges are real, even for some of us who are some of the most faithful. And I'm not proclaiming to be that. I'm saying it's real for us. So the challenge is real. In times when we are deeply challenged, we can either live according to our flesh or live according to the Spirit. Unfortunately, both options are available, even for the most faithful, and at times our flesh may even seem to prevail. Last week, Pastor Ross talked about believers having a proper response because our life should bear witness of the Almighty and bring glory to the Father. If we desire to glorify the Father, then we must be pre-positioned in a manner that allows us to operate in the strength of the Holy Spirit and not in the limits of our humanity. God never promised us a problem-free life here in this world. What he promised was that he would send the Comforter who's responsible for helping us live a life of freedom in a problem world. Jesus warned his disciples they should be prepared to suffer for his name's sake. And Paul wrote in Romans 8, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." Yes. It was never intended for believers to be exempt from experiencing great trials or challenges, and at times it will test the very merits of your faith. Yes. It is how we deal with those challenges that gives witness to the very one in whom we have placed our faith. Yes. Yes. What people should witness when they come in contact with a believer, it's not some example of a quasi-super saint. They should be able to have a tangible example of a God-loving, God-fearing, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled child of the King. When we go through our challenges, we have a choice of response. And even if we don't immediately recognize it, how we will respond will determine the size and the scope of our spiritual victories. When we act or respond according to our flesh, we give ammunition to the enemy. But when we act or respond according to the Spirit, we can disarm the armies of the enemy. When the Spirit of God is directing us, he is doing so with full knowledge of the present and future implications of our decisions and actions. His goal is to never lead us to defeat, but to lead us to the origin of all of our victories, which is in Christ Jesus. After salvation, our human nature is constantly at odds with our renewed spirit. Living according to the Spirit takes deep commitment, and there are aspects of our humanity that need deep surgery and healing. Additionally, our flesh is always looking out for one person and one person only, and that person's name is self. There are times when our thoughts and feelings can be out of sync with the will of God. He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." So our flesh will consistently have a focus on trying to be fulfilling of self-interest. Now, let me distinguish. While self-care is important, always, and let me emphasize always, focusing on our self-interest is like traveling down a one-way street straight down to a dead end. You will only care about what is right and good for you. So absent proper guidance, our self-interest can appear selfish, self-limiting, and self-destructive. Knowing that you need to be cared for is one thing. Knowing how to care for you is another. And in matters related to our soul, we often don't have the best vantage point to be able to adequately look inwardly and determine our spiritual health. Now, there are times when a person can look introspectively, identify an issue, and then make a game plan that can foster a change of heart, a change of mind, or a change of behavior. But there are also times when an individual can struggle to see what may be quite apparent to many others. Deep spiritual issues like anger, distrust, bitterness, anxiety, worry, ambivalence, doubt, and unrepentant sin are all examples of deep spiritual issues that can make you a toxic person, but also be toxic to your soul. And any one of us can find ourselves in one of these places. And that's why the helping relationships can be effective. Things such as counseling and mentoring, coaching and discipleship are all designed to help an individual understand something different about them that they were either unaware or previously unable to understand. And that's why we emphasize growth groups around here. Those communities of fellowship where people enjoying together, journeying together to bond your hearts and so that you become part of a viable part of the kingdom because people take interest in you. That's why our growth groups are important. Now, we are called to help one another, and God expects that we as believers should participate in helping each other. But he did not impose something, an expectation that he wasn't first ready to fulfill. See, God's unparalleled love for us gave us his son, but God's unparalleled care for us gave us his spirit. And this is why Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. It is Jesus who redeems us from sinful life, but it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that helps us live within a sinful world. God's gift is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. And it truly is a gift that continuously keeps on giving. Our scripture passage today describes Paul's arrival in Ephesus. This was Paul's second visit, but it is his first real opportunity to minister to the people in Ephesus. In Acts 18, we learn that Paul had passed through Ephesus and was asked to stay, but Paul stated he would return if it was God's will. Let's assume now that he's there in Acts 19 that it was God's will. Now, Ephesus was a place of great prominence and a major hub for commerce and trading. It was no secret that Ephesus openly embraced idolatry. In fact, the selling of idols was part of the main commerce. The goddess Artemis was a prominent idol, and the primitive root of her name, Art, is translated great, excellent, or holy. So here's Paul, having to confront the evil of open idolatry and effectively communicate the need for them to give up their worthless idols and receive the gift of salvation, which is in Christ Jesus only. Give up your evil spirits and receive God's Holy Spirit. I guess you can say that Paul had his own version of a spiritual repeal and replace plan. Now, this may have been a great challenge for Paul, but certainly not for God, because Paul had demonstrated his reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit and not in his own human strength. We see the power of the Holy Spirit working through Paul as he laid his hands upon those initial disciples at Ephesus, and when he baptized them in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, they were transformed. He challenged them with a question, conveyed a message of truth, and prayed for them. Pause. Here's a great example of evangelism 101. Get so wrapped around the axle about how do we witness to other people. How about this? Ask him a question, give him a message of truth, and pray for him. It worked for Paul. Certainly it will work for us as well. Now, I asked you about the question on the forward end. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? I said, park that question, because I believe that question is still applicable for us today, whether you're sitting in a congregation, watching live streaming, or you'll see this archive later on. It's still applicable in any one of those formats. There are only three possible responses to this challenging question. If the question is posed, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? There's only one of three. Yes, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. Only three. But each of those three answers can lead us to an action point. I want to pose that question to every one of us right here in this room. I'm posing it right now. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? If you answered no, or I don't know what you're talking about, then I'm inviting you today to go to the prayer room. And I know we point to prayer room because we have people who are strategically placed to stand there to walk through you. Go to the prayer room. If you can't get there, talk to an usher. Ask for a pastor. Get to somebody. And I will venture to say, even if you would raise a question, there are people right here in this room right now who will walk alongside you to help you to understand that question. There's no reason for a person to come into this place to hear a message and have questions about their salvation and not get that question answered today. If you don't know what we're talking about, we can find out. The answers are already provided. You can get your answer. But those who say that they, yes, I have the Holy Spirit because I'm saved, I received the Holy Spirit, the challenge is equal for you. I'm telling you to live up to your spiritual privilege, which is in Christ Jesus. No longer can we stay back and be passive in our approach to a world that is full of sin and is moving towards destruction. God has placed us and empowered us to be his witnesses, to stand firm and be part of his kingdom's work. We can't frame how God moves through us by saying, God, I don't know if I can do that. That seems to be too much. If you box in how God, give boundaries to how God works, he can't move to the maximum effectiveness that he wants to do through you. We can't be static and stoic and not move in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to be open, available, and make ourselves in a more willing person and avail ourselves to be able to be open. So that challenges to each and every one of you here today. I've invited that Ebony and Josh come back because we carved our time and space in this service after the message. It's one thing to take something away. It says, I'll put some attention to that. But it says right now, we're going to put some action to this right now. So when they sing Holy Spirit the song, you are welcome here. Don't put it in your atmosphere. I know words say that. The welcome here means right here. We are the temple of the Lord God. Open yourselves up. Take new receipt of God's fulfillment in your life. And so don't just watch them sing the song. Embrace the words, but make it part of your personal worship now. Invite the Holy Spirit's manifestation and full indwelling in your life. Let's go and worship together.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free, and my shame is under. In your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what my heart longs for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. In your presence, Lord. We've tasted and the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, in your presence, Lord. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be all.
God, we pray. Let the embers continue to burn in our spirits, Father. Give us a desire and a passion to pursue you faithfully. God, I pray that a full manifestation of your power be witnessed through your people. Fresh deposits upon them in their spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray you meet them in their places of their residence, that you would move about those areas, God. Give them a sense of presence and felt need that you are right there with them. God, never separate your presence from them. By the yearning of those who are calling out to you, meet them with every outpouring of your spirit and the connection that pulls them deeper into you. God, help us. Help us to be your witnesses for your kingdom's work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. JOHN.STANKO. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.